Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you this day. Glad you're able to be here. One of our plans somewhere down the line is to remodel our baptistry so that when we baptize little people, they don't disappear. I should have told you, Mark, to take your camera and come up and stand on the ledge here and look over. We haven't seen a little person baptized in, 25 years or so. Well, except at the river. The river, we see them baptized, yeah. Yeah, that baptistry really wasn't the best design in the world, but praise the Lord, it's worked. And I tell you, I don't think Cody wanted to be baptized in the river at this particular time, so anyway, would you take your Bibles with me this morning and go to Acts chapter 2, please? Acts chapter 2. It's good to see you, and I know that most of us, anyway, I think, are hoping that this all goes away here pretty quick, and I just keep praying and hoping that my heating system doesn't break down because it's going 24 hours a day. It hasn't had any relief in a long time. So anyway, well, it is good to see you. God bless you. It's nice to have everybody here this morning. And if you're visiting with us today, we want to welcome you. We're glad to have you in our midst and hope you come back to get to know us better. And it's always good to see all of the familiar spirits, all of the members and friends of the church on a regular basis. We praise God for that. This morning, I want to speak about the church. And I have a message here that I know that I'm not going to be able to finish this morning. And so I'm going to have to finish it probably next Sunday night. But at any rate, I want to launch into it. I want to talk this morning about a properly functioning church. A properly functioning church. Things are designed to function. And the church is designed to function. And the idea of proper function is to accomplish that which you are designed to do, to accomplish. And in order for anything to accomplish its purpose, it needs to function, and it needs to function properly. How many of you have been confronted with something lately, perhaps, that didn't function properly? I see heads nodding all over the place. Even simple things. I saw somebody take out a pen. I was just looking through the congregation. I think it was Annie back there. Annie has a pen in her hand. And Annie has her pen in her hand because she's going to doodle during the sermon. No, she's going to take notes, right? Right, Annie? She's going to take notes. And thank you for that. But how many of you have ever taken out a pen and clicked it on and started to do whatever you're going to do with it, and it doesn't write. It doesn't write. What's the next thing you do? You start talking to it. You stupid pen. What's the matter with you? If a pen doesn't function properly, if it doesn't write, what good's a pen? You know, throw it away, get another one. You can do that with a pen, but what happens when you go out and your car doesn't function? You know, you throw it away and get another one. Or we could name a lot of things. Things need to function, and if they don't function properly, then they can't accomplish their purpose. They can't do the job. And you know, dear people, it's the same thing with the church. God gave us a plan for the church. So that the church would function, and not simply function, but function properly. And so I want to talk a little bit about the properly functioning church. What does a properly functioning church look like? What does it look like? And in the book of Acts and in chapter 2, we have kind of the prototype of the New Testament church. We have the church at Jerusalem. And we see that as the first functioning church. And we see a lot of things given to us in the book of Acts about this church and about other churches and through the epistles also. But I want to use this little outline that is so good for us here in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 41 through the end of the chapter, verse 47. And I just want to go through and I want to look at it in the light of a properly functioning church. And what does that look at? So let's begin with verse 41, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And let's just go through and have a Bible study together on a properly functioning church. Verse 41 says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Were baptized. So a properly functioning church, first of all, is made up of those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. All right? A properly functioning church has to be made up of the right material. And the right material for a church, the right material for a local church is, first of all, saved people. People have to be born again. We talk about having a regenerate membership, a regenerate membership. The church is different than any other organization. Or other organizations can be made up of just people who are interested in the organization and who want to align themselves with whatever the organization believes and whatever the organization is doing. But the church is different. The church is different. It is the only institution that God is God's upon the face of the earth in a very unique and special way. And first of all, the church is an organism. It is an organism. Now, an organism is something that's living. It's something that's alive. And the church, the New Testament church, must be made up of living material. Living material. The Bible, in one place, calls it living stones, made of living stones. In other words, people that have been given spiritual life through Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. People who have been born again. When you're born again, you receive spiritual life. You are given the life of God. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you, and you are spiritually regenerated. And so, first of all, a person must, in order to be a part of the church, in order to have a properly functioning church, you have to have people that are born again. If you have an organization, listen to me carefully, if you have an organization, even if you call it a church, if you have an organization that is not primarily made up of regenerated people, born-again people, it is not a church of Jesus Christ. And so if you have a church that is not born, is not made up of living material, you cannot have an organism, you see. And so first of all, in order to function properly, you have to have a church, you have to have people that have been made alive by Jesus Christ. Have to be saved, born again, regenerated, washed in the blood, you see, that kind of a person. And so we, first of all, have people who have believed in Jesus, and then the Bible says those who believed in Jesus were baptized. And so those people, if you're going to have a properly functioning church, you have to have people who have openly, publicly, visibly committed themselves to Jesus Christ in baptism, identified themselves with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Pastor Randy mentioned this morning, when Cody was baptized, Cody is not being baptized to become a Christian. Cody is being baptized because he has accepted Christ and is a Christian. And he's identifying himself with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so he has identified himself publicly as a believer in Jesus Christ. And so people who are regenerated and people who are properly baptized, scripturally baptized, are the proper material for a properly functioning church. You see, these people come together in assembly, and that's the best single definition of ecclesia in definition. A church is an assembly. Assembly comes together. It comes together. Some people say, well, the word ecclesia simply means called out. No, it means more than just called out. It means called out into assembly, called out into organization. And it goes back into Greek, into the Greek city-state idea of people coming out into an ecclesia, into an assembly, a legally formed assembly. And so a legally formed assembly, as far as the Bible is concerned, is made up of those who are saved and properly baptized. And they come together into what we know as a New Testament church. And so that's the basic idea of the foundation of a properly functioning New Testament church. Now, let's go on from there. Verse 42. Now, what will a properly functioning New Testament church look like? Well, verse 42 says this to begin with, and the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. I like that. You see, first of all, folks, a properly functioning church will be one that is functioning faithfully. Functioning faithfully. They continued how? Steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. Properly functioning as a faithful church, a faithful assembly of God's people, a carrying on day by day. As Paul says, be steadfast, unmovable, always a what? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know that? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You can do a lot of things, folks. Listen, you can do a lot of things in this life that in the long run aren't going to mean a thing. They're not going to mean a thing. But when you faithfully serve the Lord, when you faithfully serve the Lord, when you faithfully serve the Lord as a faithful part of the New Testament church, you need to understand that your labor will never be in vain. It will never be in vain. Now, a properly functioning church must be made up of faithful people. All right? Faithful people. First of all, faithful in your individual life. Faithful to the Lord in your individual life. Faithful as a disciple. Faithful in the way you live for the Lord in your individual life as an individual person, in your worship, in your Bible study, and all of the rest of it. Faithful to the Lord. But then also properly functioning faithful church must be faithful in its ministries. Must be faithful in its ministries. Now that means that every individual that is involved in a ministry must be found faithful in that ministry. Must be found faithful in this ministry. How many of you came this morning with just the inward knowledge? You didn't even have to think about it a second time, but you came this morning just knowing, just believing that either Pastor Randy or myself would be prepared to preach this morning. You see? And if for some reason both of us were sick or had broken legs or whatever it might be, there would be somebody here that would be prepared to preach this morning. Now, it's been that way ever since we started the church. There's never been a time. Now, there might be some times when the message has been better than other times. You might have gone home from time to time and say, boy, he wasn't on this morning. You know, and maybe more often than not, especially with me. But at any rate, you come and you know that somebody is going to be up here in this pulpit and they're going to be prepared. They're going to be prepared. You see, I am prepared. Here is my notes. There it is. It took time to do that, folks. It took time to study and to think about that and prepare that and put that down. And this is what you're getting this morning. Well, you're getting a lot more than this, tell you the truth. But at any rate, prepared, you see. Now, in order for the church to function properly, all of us together who are involved in whatever ministry it might be, and even just in faithfulness in coming and attending and being present. Faithfulness. I look down at Myra Wood. She's faithful. I can look right down there and I see Myra and Evelyn, and I see these ladies sitting down in here, and the Scots and what. I can look down, the Latins on that row, and the Thompsons, and there's the Winchells over there. And I can look down throughout this congregation, and I look down, and what I see is faithful people functioning. And some of you say, well, you know, I'm not involved in a ministry, but I look down and Sunday after Sunday and week after week and month after month and year after year, and I look down and there you are. There you are. Now, if you weren't there, this church could not function. It could not function. You see, we would have to close up the doors. Every person is a vital part of a properly functioning New Testament church. Every person is counted upon. Every church needs to be dependable. Every person needs to be dependable. Everyone needs to be faithful in what we do for the Lord. And this church needs faithful people who will be faithful in their personal lives to live for the Lord, and then faithful people who will be faithful in fulfilling the ministries that God has given us and the ministries that we're involved with as a church. We've been running a Wednesday night program for children now for many years. Before we had Master Club, we had Awana. So for many, many, many years, we have been running a Wednesday night program. And why has it been successful? And I don't think there's anybody that would not say that our Wednesday night program for our children and our young people has not been successful. It's been a successful program. Why has it been successful for so many years? Why do we continue to have all of these children and young people coming on Wednesday nights? You know that we have sometimes as many on Wednesday nights as almost we have on Sunday morning. If you count all the things that are going on, not a whole lot of churches can say that. Now, why is that? I'll tell you why. Because we have faithful people who are faithful to their ministry. They are here every Wednesday night. They're not staying home to watch television. They're not staying home because they're too tired. They're coming out. They're working all day at whatever they do, and they come out on Wednesday night. Some of them drive the vans. Some of them do other things. But they're faithful. They're here. They're here, you see. Folks, I'll tell you something. In order to have a properly functioning New Testament church, you must have faithful people. You must have faithful people. Now, thank God we got a lot of good faithful people. But listen, I want to encourage you. There are some who may be able to become more faithful. There are some who might be able to accomplish a lot more and help the church accomplish a lot more if you were more faithful. And so we praise God for the faithful people who have a heart for God. But listen, a properly functioning church. Listen, I've lived here in this area for a long time. And that's why I can go off on such gab all the time. I've lived here for a long time. In fact, I've lived here for most of my life. I've lived in the same house now for over 40 years. Now, listen, I'm pretty much aware of the churches in this area. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been driving by some church buildings. And by all outward appearances, nothing has happened in that church for decades. Nothing. There's never been a building program. They've never had to enlarge. In some cases, I don't even think they painted. I mean, nothing has changed. They got the same sign. Everything looks just exactly the same in 2017 as it did in 1987 and 1977 and 1967 and as long as I can remember. Nothing has happened. Now, I don't want to be critical necessarily, but I want to say this. Why is that? How can a New Testament church be functioning properly for 50 or 60 years and not show one single sign of anything? Now, in some cases, there might be some extenuating circumstances or whatever. I don't know, maybe, in a real small place, in a real small town, you don't have much of a population. And sometimes that works. But in this area, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people. How can a church be around for 50 or 60 or 70 years and nothing ever changes? You see? Something's wrong. A church like that, folks, there's something wrong. You doubt that church is functioning properly. There's something about that church that's not functioning properly. Because something that functions properly will accomplish that which it's designed for. And a church is designed to grow. A church is designed to reach people. A church is designed to multiply. A church is designed to impact a community. A church is designed to do a lot of things. And if a church is not doing that, that's an indication that that church, for whatever reason it might be, is not functioning properly. Now, I'm sure that you would agree with me and Pastor Randy that we all want a properly functioning church. Good, that was rousing. We want a properly functioning church. Now, dear people, we have not set the world on fire. There's room for a lot better performance. You see. But if you come out here over the years, when we came out here, this place was just an uneven pasture. There was nothing out here. There was nothing out here. You see. Now it's taken us several decades to do it, but I think anybody looking at our church and our history, they would say, well, something's happened there. This church has been functioning. You see. We've come a long ways since the days of the Odd Fellows Hall in Richland. And we have a church that I think is a fairly decent church. And not only that, praise God, it's all paid for. Amen. Don't owe a dime on it. Praise the Lord for that. You see, folks, we got to keep in mind that we're here for a purpose. And we're not going to accomplish that purpose if we have malfunction. We're not going to accomplish that purpose if we don't function like we should. Now, we have to function faithfully. Now, point two, back in verse 42. I'm going to move on. I said I wasn't going to be able to finish this message. I've got 11 points. This is point two. Point two. Notice this. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly, all right, there's functioning faithfully, steadfastly. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine. Now I want to stop right there. The second thing I want to point out is that a properly functioning church will be functioning biblically, scripturally. Will be functioning according to the Word of God, upholding the Word. Take your Bible with me and go back into the Gospel of John here. Just turn back into the Gospel of John. And I want you to look at chapter 15 with me and notice what Jesus says. In John chapter 15 and verse 7, if you would. He says this, John 15, 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And then in chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my what? Words. He will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, a properly functioning church has to be one that is built upon the Word of God. And for a lot of reasons. for a lot of reasons. But the first reason is this. The first reason is this. The scriptures, and by that I mean our Bibles, and in particular for the church, the New Testament. Now, believe me, I'm not dismissing the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the inspired word of God, and we look to the Old Testament. But our guiding principles as a new covenant church, a New Testament church, is found in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we have the embodiment of that which is given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the permanent embodiment of those words that Jesus is talking about when he says, "If my word abides in you." He that has my word and keeps my word, he it is that loves me. And this is the permanent embodiment of the word of Jesus Christ, given by him both personally and given by him through his apostles. And so this is the word of God. And dear people, as a New Testament church, there is no way that we can please God. There's no way that we can function properly as a New Testament church if we are not very careful about building upon the Word of God, about knowing and obeying and implementing the Word of God. We have no other guide. If we depart from this, all we have are the thoughts and concepts of men. That's all we have. And I'm going to guarantee you, we will definitely go astray. We will definitely go astray if we depart from this. And so we are called upon to function according to the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration, the Scripture tells us. We are to build upon the Word of God. And so we must continue faithfully to preserve and to perpetuate and to obey the Word of God. A church cannot function properly apart from the Word of God. And by the way, let me just say this. That is why so many churches are moving away. So many churches are moving away from what I believe is glorifying to God. They are implementing the concepts of men. They are looking to the world for their answers for church growth and church promotion and all the rest of it. And they are moving away. They are moving away from just trying to know and understand and implement the Word of God. And so they are moving into a worldly friendly, a user friendly type of philosophy that is departing from the Word of God, and they are not fulfilling, they cannot fulfill the function and the purpose that God has for the New Testament church. It's a sad thing, but there is a departure taking place. There's a departure. There's a questioning taking place. There's a subtle undermining that is taking place in evangelical thought today. A subtle undermining that is taking place that is justifying their departure. That is redefining the Scriptures and what the Scriptures teach. And it's moving away, and it's a very dangerous trend. It's a very dangerous trend, folks. And we can't do it no matter what the consequences. We have got to function biblically. A properly functioning church is one that functions biblically, period. There's no moving away from that in faith and practice. And then in verse 42, once again, I'll bring out one more point here, and then we'll be done this morning, so don't get worried. Verse 42, once again. Okay, they continued steadfastly, that's functioning faithfully, in the apostles' doctrine, that's functioning biblically, upholding the Word of God in faith and practice. And then the Bible says fellowship, and in breaking of bread. And I want to stop and I want to talk about that word fellowship. And I want to look at it this way. A properly functioning church will be functioning what I'm going to call this morning fraternally. Fraternally. Now, a fraternity is a brotherhood or a society that is organized together to achieve a common goal or mission. And you and I, as believers in Christ, we are, first of all, a spiritual brotherhood and a spiritual sisterhood. The Christian is designed to have a very unique relationship with each other, and especially in the church. We have a common Savior. We've all been saved one way. If you're here this morning and you are saved, there's only one way to be saved, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. You haven't been saved any other way, and if you think you've been saved some other way, you're not saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So we have a common Savior. We have been indwelt by one Holy Spirit. We have a common indwelling of God's Spirit that not only imparts unto us spiritual life, but it brings us together in a vital union with Christ and with each other. We have a union with Christ and a union with each other. The Bible likens the local church, the Bible likens the church to a body, a physical body. And in this physical body, we have many members. And you can read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in the context of that in chapter 14. And I don't have time to look at it this morning with you, but you know the passage. The church is likened, also in Romans chapter 12, the church is likened to a physical body. And there are different members in the body, like fingers, toes, eyes, ears, mouth, tongue, legs. There are different members in the body, but there's just one body. We are one body in Christ. We are one body in Christ. And all of the members are important. I'm finding that out as I grow older. Some of you finding that out? Some of these members are more important than you used to think. I'm can't close my hand anymore. And this one's starting to do the same thing. I'm going to have to go see my hand doctor. But anyway, we got all these parts. Now, what are these parts designed to do? They are designed to work together. And if something happens to one of those parts, what happens? The body doesn't function as properly as it should. You see? The body doesn't function as properly as it should. I've got a big book at home. I got a number of big books at home, but I got a great big book at home. And I was just, last night I had it out and I was looking at it, and I put that book down on the floor. It's a book about that thick and about that big. And I put that book down on the floor, and I reached down with my hand, and I tried to pinch it and pick it up, and I couldn't do it. And I said to Karen, I said, I can't pick up this book with my hand anymore. She said, what? She said, I can pick up that book. And so she came over, and she tried to pick it up, and she couldn't pick it up with one hand. Now, there was a time when I could pick up that book really easy. I mean, I don't know what that book weighed. I didn't weigh it, but I couldn't pick it up. Why? Because my hands aren't functioning properly. I don't have the strength in my hands I used to have. You see? My body's not functioning properly anymore. I'm getting old, wore out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I can't do that anymore. In fact, there's more I can't do now than I used to do. But at any rate, but stop and think about that in the light of the church. That's my point this morning. Stop and think about that in the light of the church. You see, we are called upon to function as a body that is in union, that is in harmony, that is in oneness, a body that is working together, a body that is working together to bring about and to accomplish that which God has designed for us to do as a church. Now, what happens when some of the body's not functioning properly? What happens if some of the body says, you know what, I don't want to be involved in that at all. I'm not going to, you know, count me out, or just unfaithful for some reason. And we have parts of the body that aren't functioning. You see, dear people, we are called upon to function fraternally. We're to function with oneness of mind and oneness of heart to accomplish that which God has given us to do as a church. Now, listen to me. I could talk about this for a long time, but I know I can't. But listen to me. A lot of that goes and depends upon what your concept of the church is and what you feel your relationship to a church should be. Now, I know what the biblical concept is. I've been in the Word of God for a long, long, long time, folks. And I've studied this very, very thoroughly. And I know what the biblical concept of the church is. I know what the biblical concept of Christians being a part of and involved in a church is. But I do also know this, that there are a lot of folks, for whatever reasons, and I think a lot of it is that a lot of folks have been in churches in times past that have minimized the local church. They have minimized the local church. And everybody has a concept, well, there's this great big vague thing called the church out there, and everybody belongs to it, and so the local church is just secondary at best. I belong to the church. I belong to the universal church. I belong to this mystical body church. And so really the local church is just secondary. That's not the real important thing. The real important thing is that I belong to this other church, which they basically identify with the family of God. If I'm in the family of God, I'm in the church. And so a lot of people a lot of people don't have a biblical concept of the New Testament church. You know, the church is used in the Bible 114 times. 114 times. At least 95 of the 114 usages of the word church in the Bible refer without any doubt to the local church. Now you stop and think about the emphasis of the New Testament. Does the New Testament put the emphasis upon a local church, or does it put the emphasis upon some sort of an invisible universal church? 95 out of 114 instances, it undoubtedly refers to a local church. And the other instances are arguable. Now I'm not a pastor of an invisible church. I'm not a pastor of some universal church. Now, doesn't that say something? I can't go down the road here. I might say, you know what? I would like a larger church. I'm going to go down to Bethel. You know, Bethel's just down the road here. It runs several thousand people. And I walk in and say, you know what? I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor of the church. I'm here, and I'm going to join you. I'm going to join you. I'm a pastor. I've been called to the ministry. I've been ordained. In fact, I've been ordained twice. I'm a double pastor. You know, I'm joining up. They say, well, great, glad to have you. Or somebody walks in here and comes down the aisle and says, you know what, I can preach better than Gilchrist and Barnes. I'm taking over. I'm a pastor. I'm the pastor of a church, the universal church. This is a part of the universal church, isn't it? What will we say to him? We say, hit the road, Jack. Don't come back. You see, the only church in the world, the only church in the world that I have any, that I function in, that I'm called to, that I'm a pastor of, is this one right here. And it's a local church. It's a local church. When people want something, they come to a local church. When they need help, they call a local church. When they want to get married, they call a local church. When they want to get buried, they call a local church. And say, hey, what? Hey, call the universal church. Call the invisible church. Isn't that silly? You see, a lot of people today, folks, and I'm not trying to be nasty or mean, but I'm just trying to tell you something now. I'm trying to tell you that at the very least in the Bible, the design is upon the local church. And Christians are designed to be a part of the local church. No exemptions. No exemptions. But a lot of people today don't see that. They think it's completely optional. It's not important. It's, you know, it's and consequently, a lot of local churches they can't function properly because they don't have a properly functioning membership, and they can't get the work done. You see. Now, thank God we can get the work done. We could do it a lot greater. We could do it a lot more efficiently, you see. But we're designed, the local church is designed to be a body that comes together in Christ. And each one of us are members in particular, and we're designed to work just like this body here. We're designed to work together. You see, we're designed to work together to accomplish that which God has told us to do in His Word. You see, and He has given us a mission. He has given us a mission. And we're not relieved of that mission as long as there's breath in our nostrils. We need to work together to do it. And so a properly functioning church is one that's functioning faithfully, one that's functioning biblically, and one that's functioning fraternally as a brotherhood, as a sisterhood, as a body, to come together and do what God has called us to do. So, God bless the church, and God bless you, dear people. May God use us to His honor and to His glory. Let's stand together and we'll sing a song as we're dismissed. 672. 672, please. Let's all stand together. Sing it out together. Do you hear them coming, brother, thronging up the steeps of life, clad in glorious shining garments, blood gusts and rinsed through and white? 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen, amen. If you need help in your spiritual life, if you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved, that you'd go to heaven if you died today, Pastor Randy or myself would be glad to get together with you and help you in your spiritual life. So if we can be of any help to you, please let us know. We would like to help each one, to be what God would want you to be, okay? And to be who God would want you to be, all right? I'm not worried about trying to make you what I want you to be, you see. I just want you to be what God wants you to be and who God wants you to be. And we're here to help you on that pathway. So God bless you and God bless the church. God bless this church and all Bible-believing gospel churches. God bless them. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you now for your love and your goodness. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, Father, for being able to come together in the church and to serve you. Thank you today for Cody, Father. God, he's got his whole life ahead of him. And I pray, Lord, that you would watch over him and protect him and bless him and grow him strong and use him greatly in his life. And we just thank you, Father, for Mark and Beth, and we pray your blessing upon them as they continue to raise Cody in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So we just bless you and give you praise now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.